It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Memorial Day Monster Monday presented by DraftKings. Hopefully you guys have already had an awesome weekend so far. Finish strong, whether that's with the daddy sodas or grilling the food. Check out my social media at Ross Tucker NFL so you can see some of the stuff I've been eating and drinking over the weekend. Look, that's part of what life's about, right? Check it out on social at Ross Tucker NFL. All of our stuff is always available at Ross Tucker Pod as well. Speaking of available, you guys made this request for today's guest. A couple weeks ago, multiple people, might have been some patrons, patreon.com/RTmedia said, can you get on a financial advisor? Can you get on a guy that advises some players? I'd be curious to hear what advice they give or what, you know, what they say. How about, I did even better than that. I got my financial advisor who played 10 years in the NFL, 129 games, and was my boss when I interned for him. So this is going to be amazing. His name's Kurt Schultz. You remember him, 8 years with the Bills, 2 years with the Lions. Can't wait to talk with him momentarily. We will have a new Spread the Word winner this week. You know what to do. Just engage anyway. I like the Facebook shares. I'm not going to lie. I like those Facebook shares. Or maybe on Instagram, you put it on your story. I don't even know. Just do whatever it takes that more people see it. I love it. I'll notice it. And I'll sign something for you, whatever you want. Sponsor confirmations, I love. Keeps. Keep your hair like I am. Keeps.com/Ross. More on that a little bit later. And the YouTube shout out. You know, people are winning the YouTube shout out and then they're not emailing me to tell me who they want me to give the shout out for. So you're kind of blowing it, guys. I'll give you a cameo style shout out, which I love. We also have some news to get to, but first it is big show time.
The big show.
As promised, 10-year NFL veteran who's also like a soccer stud. This is a legitimately awesome guy on so many levels. My financial advisor and friend, Kurt Schultz. Kurt, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Ross, you're too kind. I appreciate it. It's good to be on the show.
All right. So, man, there's a million things that we could get into. I guess I'll start with how we met, which is every offseason when I was in the NFL, I would do an internship. So after my rookie year, I interned with Merrill Lynch in D.C. because I had interned with Merrill Lynch investment managers before my senior year of college. So somehow the guys at Merrill Lynch investment managers got, you know, they knew I was in D.C. They found these guys, J.C. McKnight, Pete Kenny, awesome guys. They got me hooked up with them. Okay. Then I go to Dallas. I want to try something different. You know, I want to see what else I might be interested in. So I work for Roger Staubach. You might have heard of him. His commercial real estate company in Dallas. Then I get cut again, and I go to Buffalo, have a good year. And I don't remember if it was the DC guys that hooked me up with, I barely remember these guys' names, like Nowakowski and these guys. But I think I got hooked up with a group. And I don't think I got hooked up. Like, I don't think I was hooked up with you. I think I got hooked up with a group. And then we like made the connection or they brought you on while we were. Do you remember that?
I think that we met at the Chop House, the Buffalo Chop House, eating steak with Reuben Brown. I believe that's what it was. And you had asked about what I did. And hey, you know, next time coming in the office and, you know, there's a lot of heads turned since you're, you know, likable big guy and you were definitely a hit in the office. That's for sure.
That is funny, man. Yeah, I remember that. And you were just getting started.
Yeah, I think at the time I had it was my second or third year. No, you're right. And, you know, Reuben, that was my connection with some of the offensive linemen. And he's just a great guy, obviously. And we hit it off and you barely fit into the cubicle that was right next to me, if you remember that. It was like kind of odd, but No, it was great. It was great having you in, man. I mean, obviously you're very bright and you know, you had an aptitude for it, and no, it was fun having you for sure, man.
Yeah, I remember, man, there's a lot. I remember one thing I did was call agents to you know, try to strike up relationships with them on behalf of you, you know, because you know, when you're trying to get players as clients, a lot of times the agents are able to talk with them when they're in college. So it was funny though, Kurt, because, and I didn't even know I was going to talk to you about this. It's funny though, because I'm calling these agents. I'm an active player. Like, I started the last five games that year. I was a restricted free agent. I made the USA Today All Joe team or whatever. So these agents would call me right back thinking that I wanted to switch, thinking that they were about to get like a client. They'd be like, "Hey Ross, how are you?" I'm like, "Yeah, hey Joe. Anyway, so I'm calling on behalf of Kurt." They'd be like, "Oh." It's a great idea, by the way. It's a great way to go about it.
Brilliant, right? Because, you know, I'm a has-been. You're already in the league. You're playing. So, yeah, that was I guess I kind of knew that. But
so
anyway, that's hilarious.
So, you know, Kurt, I don't think I realized you started 93 games, man. You played in 129, just regular season. 72 starts in Buffalo, 107 games played in Buffalo, 8 years, then 2 years in Detroit, an amazing 10-year career. For people that don't remember the type of player you were, how would you describe yourself? Were you more of a box safety, more of a middle-of-the-field safety, or was your strength that you were pretty good at both? Like, how would you describe your game as an NFL player?
You know, for me, I think it was just I was good at anticipating what they may do. And, you know, that was play recognition. It was communicating with the corners, with the linebackers, and just kind of knowing the defensive scheme in and out. And then more importantly, knowing what the offense might do on certain circumstances, whether it be alignment or what have you. And I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I was pretty adept at intercepting the ball. And I think, you know, I like to think I was a decent tackler, but that probably wasn't the biggest, benefit to the team. I think more importantly, it was just somebody that they could trust to be back there and not give up the big play and, you know, occasionally come up with the ball, you know, in various different circumstances. You know, I had 30 interceptions, so I must have been doing something right on that end. And I would just attribute to, you know, long hours. You know, I can remember with Chris Spielman early in the morning before, you know, practice started, 6:30 in the morning, and we're studying film. And I learned a lot from him. And I think it was just general studying the offensive scheme and seeing if I could get any type of edge for that one play that, you know, hopefully I could make a difference in a game.
So, Kurt, you didn't start your first 3 years. And then you started 93 games over the last 7 years. Your last 7 years, you had at least two picks each year, and you had 30 total. I mean, 30 picks in 7 years, you're averaging 4.5 picks a year. That is legit, man. I mean, that is a lot. That is taking the ball. I mean, 6-4-2, 6-3-7-2. That would compare. I mean, I'm surprised you never made a Pro Bowl. That's a lot of interceptions, especially back then when they weren't throwing the ball as much.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, as you know, we had an unbelievable defensive line in Buffalo. I mean, you have Bruce Smith, Phil Hansen, Ted Washington up the middle. You know, and the same was with Detroit. I mean, Robert Porche, we had some ballers. And as a defensive back, I mean, it's huge to have that front line and that pass rush. And that was so much of it. You know, I'd love to take the credit for all of it, but you know, obviously it goes hand in hand with a great defensive line. And we had that in both places, you know. But yeah, no, I'm pretty proud of those. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, like I said, it was a lot of study in the offensive scheme to see if you could get any type of edge, you know. And, you know, as you know, in the league, it's hard to get that, you know. So it was basically just hard-nosed studying.
So I ask any former player that comes on this question. You're 52 years old now. How's your body feel? Like brain and body, like how are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm actually feeling pretty good. I did have the first, believe this or not, I do play soccer, as you know, Ross, like competitively on a weekly basis. Well, last year during COVID, I was probably playing a little too much and running a little too much. And I finally had my first knee injury in, you know, 51 years. And so I had knee surgery about 8 months ago. But I'm recovering. I'm back. And I do yoga, as, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. I play soccer. I keep active. So my body feels pretty darn good, actually. And, you know, it, part of the NFL have that brain and body where you can go to the Cleveland Clinic. And I've taken part of that every 5 years. And it's just, it makes you feel good when you come out of it. And it's just a great benefit that the NFL provided for us retirees.
Yeah, I did it in April. Phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. You're still, even after the knee surgery, you're still back to playing competitive soccer?
Yeah, I've got this team. And, you know, obviously the competition, I've aged up quite a bit, right? So I've got this team that we've got guys, players from all over the U.S., and we play every year in Vegas. And it is such a great weekend. But literally, they've got an over 60 division. So that's my goal. I'm going to be out there with a bunch of old guys, you know, and 60-year-olds kicking the ball around. And, you know, for those that love soccer, it, you know, it's a passion, and you get people from players from all over the U.S. We get some from Mexico. There was a team from Peru up in Montreal. So it's pretty cool. It's definitely a fun. I don't see that I'm going to be quitting soccer anytime soon.
Wow. You got to be the only 10-year NFL vet that plays competitive soccer other than a kicker, you know?
Yeah. Probably. I think I got Steve Christie. I tried to get him out there a few times because I know he was quite the soccer player up in Canada. And he lasted, I think, until he was maybe like 35. And I think he hung up the cleats. So you're probably right.
So you end up making your home in Buffalo and getting into finance. How'd that happen? Like how did the whole financial advisor finance thing happen?
Well, good question. So, you know, my degree in college was accounting. So I was studying for the CPA when I got drafted, taking the Becker review class. And so I always really liked numbers and balance sheets. And it's just kind of an odd thing to think about, but that was my thing, numbers. And my uncle at the time was a pretty big money manager, and I kind of always looked up to him, and he was like this small growth manager. I think he had a hedge fund at one point in his career and just super, super successful on CNBC. And I would intern with him, and I just dug it. And it was something that I'm like, I felt really passionate about, and I just loved investing. I loved hearing about it. I loved talking about it. And so that's kind of how I parlayed it into a career. You know, just basically out of passion, something that, you know, hey, listen, I was a financial junkie as it was. Might as well just share that with other people.
So you were like into it, investing in finance as a player. So it was like a no-brainer career for you.
It was, you know, I think the hardest piece of it all was trying to sell, right? I mean, there's that segment of it that is a big piece of being a financial advisor is the selling piece. And, you know, I'm not very adept at that. But hey, listen, if you're passionate about what you are doing, it's not really a job. It's more of, hey, listen, I want to help people. And so I kind of have taken that route. I'm not a great salesman, but hey, listen, I love what I do and I love to help people. And, you know, that's what I'm all about.
How important do you think it is for current players or former players to have a financial advisor that knows about all the player benefits? Because, you know, I was amazed how few guys when I was playing really knew about the 401k, you know, all of the pension, severance, annuity, health savings, all that stuff. A lot of guys really don't know much about. I mean, there were guys that didn't do Kurt, and we talked about this back in the day. Mm-hmm. They didn't do the 200% 401k match as players.
Yeah, crazy. I think it's hugely beneficial. And just to give you just an idea of, you know, the importance of that, you know, I mean, as you know, through the NFL, there's tons of different benefits. And some of, you know, the NFL does a great job of marketing themselves, but they don't always do a great job of explaining certain things. And, you know, some of it's just the benefits are kind of cobbled together, it seems like. And I think they're trying to do a better job of explaining some of that. But, you know, one of the things that the NFL provides when you're a player is life insurance. And so, like, if you don't know how to find that, where to find that, and don't know, understand the benefits, you know, you could be a financial advisor that's, you know, soliciting, you know, life insurance for a player where they need to incorporate a lot of the benefits that they already have. And so you're kind of, you know, and so I've run into that quite a bit where players might, you know, be solicited for life insurance. And I'm like, well, hey, listen, when you're done, that makes sense. But when you're playing, I mean, you're kind of, you know, you don't necessarily need it. So I think that the incorporating that in any plan makes a heck of a lot of sense, you know, and it's the right thing to do. And if you're not adept at knowing and how to figure out what the benefits are and what they mean, because they change, as you know, they change almost every year. So you got to be up to date on all of that all the time.
What are the pros and cons in particular of advising current or former players? Because I, you know, as you know, I got my Series 7 and 66 while I was playing. I thought I was going to get into that, and then I had the back surgery, got cut in Buffalo, and it's, you know, my idea was to try to get the guys as clients while I was still playing, but if you're not on a team where you're established and you're bouncing around, you can't have the first time you meet guys be like, oh, by the way, let me talk about your finances. Like, it just doesn't work that way. But right. I've also heard horror stories over the years from financial advisors where it's like, you tell the guy he doesn't need to buy a third car or whatever, and he does anyway. Right. What are sort of the pros and cons of representing and advising players?
Well, you make a really good point. And I would say, you know, the probably the most frustrating part of the job is for them not to take the advice, you know, the experience that somebody's had. You know, been in the league, been an advisor for years, you know, just not understanding the X's and O's of, and it, not that they need to understand the X's and O's of finance, but they need to trust somebody, you know, because it's at the end of the day, it's just a math equation. If you look at how much money is coming in, how much money is going out. And so, you know, the biggest mistake the players make is they just spend too much, right? And so that's the most frustrating piece of it, is just to try to get them and educate them enough where they can understand and make good decisions. So at the end of the day, that's what I'm all about, is like helping clients make good, smart decisions. And the biggest, I think the biggest problem or the biggest task for me is to kind of educate them on what the money can do for them and what kind of lifestyle that they could provide for themselves for the rest of their lives, and for them to not, you know, not adhere to a budget or whatnot. You know, that's probably the most frustrating, because I could easily see certain clients where you're like, okay, I know where this is going to end, and it's going to end badly. And so try to paint the picture of what is to come with too much spending is a challenge. And I would say that's probably the most frustrating part of the job, because, hey, listen, it's they think they have millions, and they do, but as you know, I mean, they've got, it's got to last another 50 years, you know, 45 years, whatever the case. So, you know, that's probably the biggest frustration.
Yeah, I think if I had to describe it from my time as a player, they are not a lot of the guys. It's hard to be an NFL player and not be intelligent. It's just hard. But right. I think a lot of the guys that I spoke with are very uneducated when it comes to financial matters. They're not unintelligent, because with the football stuff, they know they're smart. Like, they know their stuff, but they just, right. They've never done the background or researched or have any background to be educated on the financial stuff. And they either don't trust anybody, or unfortunately, Kurt, a lot of times they trust the wrong people.
Right. And, you know, and I've always, you know, I've heard horror stories and been involved with hearing about, you know, horrible things happening to players with giving you know, giving agents and or whoever powers of attorney. And then it's just all at the end of the day, they thought they had money that they didn't have and it gets stolen. And that's just super, super unfortunate. I mean, it's horrible. It's a nightmare. So, I mean, I always kind of preach, hey, listen, you need to have checks and balances. You need to have your CPA and your agent and your financial advisor, your attorney. They all may have different hats, right? You know, I'm good at finance and let me stick to that, right? I don't know anything about plumbing. I would not do any plumbing because I'm horrible. I might cause a flood in my house. So, hey, listen, I'm going to go use a plumber. You know, if you don't know about finance, you know, use a financial advisor, and everybody should use a financial advisor at some point, you know, because, hey, listen, at the end of the day, you buy securities and you need to have some type of advice. I think even Warren Buffett deals with somebody that, you know, has got a long time advisor or he's, you know, create a relationship. So, you know, I think it's important to have those checks and balances and just not, you know, throw all your eggs in one basket and one and trusting one person is maybe too much, you know.
Kurt, I know my listeners and the people that watch on YouTube now, they're going to absolutely love this episode. First of all, because I think they like that when they make a request that I listen. Multiple people requested getting a financial advisor on, so I'm glad we did that. And then this was even better than I thought it would be. Can't wait to get tremendous feedback on this interview. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. I did. Great seeing you. Glad to be of help.
There he is, Kurt Schultz. Now, if you noticed, first of all, Kurt is an awesome guy. Secondly, Kurt is bald. And I've seen videos of Kurt when he was with the Bills and his hair was struggling. And he made the decision to shave it all off, which I think is great. If that's not you and you don't look as good with a shaved head as Kurt Schultz, Keeps. Be like me. Keeps.com. I just watched, and I talked about this on the College Draft podcast. Every year on our anniversary, we watch our wedding video. Me, my wife, and my daughters. We think that's important, right? I was starting to lose my hair at age 26. And I didn't even realize it, you know, because you can only tell from like the side angle. I wish I had started the only two FDA-approved medications that can prevent hair loss earlier. Keeps offers both. If you're not familiar with these, go to Keeps.com. If you are already taking the FDA-approved medications, don't go to the drugstore to pick them up. Don't go to the doctor for the prescription. Go to Keeps.com/Ross to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/Ross to get your first month free. Keeps.com/Ross. Trust me, I am a longtime customer now at this point.
Takes. Morning, Ross. A few news items to dive into since last Thursday, including the NFL greatly relaxing COVID rules for vaccinated individuals.
Well, and this is what the NFL does. They follow the science. They follow the data. Everything indicates that the more people get vaccinated, the lower the cases are, the lower the positivity rate. Everyone listening, everyone watching has the right to make the decision they want to make for their life, their body, etc. But the NFL follows the science, and the science is pretty clear. And Andrew Brandt talked about this last week about teams. If it's a bubble guy or if it's a guy on the practice squad, my guess is they're going to go with the vaccinated guys so that everybody can have the relaxed rules if you have over 85%. So the NFL, if you look at the relaxed COVID rules for vaccinated individuals, it's a huge difference and a major incentive to get vaccinated for players. Ducks
takes. The Atlanta Falcons reportedly have been offered a first-round pick for wide receiver Julio Jones. Do we know who, though?
I think it was Diana Rossini reported that. That can mean a lot of things, right? Like, that could be a second-round pick that turns into a first-round pick if he does stuff. It could be okay, we'll give you our first-round pick. We want your second and third. Don't ever be fooled by the reporting, right? Like, they're not going to do the deal until June 2nd officially, whatever they end up doing. Because of salary cap purposes, But don't let yourself be fooled, right? That information's out for a reason, and that team is trying to get as much in return for Julio as they can.
Ducks takes.
Philadelphia Eagles announced a number of scouting department changes, including hiring former Jags GM Dave Caldwell, promoting Catherine, how do you pronounce her last name?
I don't know. She's from Montreal. I think it might be French, but I don't know how to pronounce it yet. It's R-A-I-C-H-E. Try to give it some French flavor, Brian.
I'm going
to
say Raish.
Raish. Okay.
And Catherine, I'm sorry if I butchered that. Anyway, she becomes the highest-ranking female in an NFL front office, and the Eagles also hired Amina Solomon as a scout.
Solomon. I would have gone Solomon, but I think you're right. I think it is Solomon. That's excellent. So, Catherine, we're going with Raish. I will find that out for sure because she works for the Eagles. People believe that she is the most likely woman to be the first woman to be a GM. So that's pretty cool. And then for Amina Solomon, this is a big deal. I didn't realize how big a deal it was. So I think a lot of people remember, I watch the news as little as anyone. But I think a lot of people know there's a lot going on in the Middle East, Israel, and the Palestinians, etc. Well, the owner for the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie, is Jewish. Howie Roseman, the GM, is Jewish. I believe, based on some tweets from David Cantor, the agent, I believe Amina Solomon is Palestinian. So that's a pretty major statement for the Philadelphia Eagles organization to make. Again, I'm just going off of David Cantor's tweet. I don't know Amina, but I saw some people retweeting that. Seems to be very significant to some folks.
Ducks takes.
Let's get to some injuries. They are mounting with Lions D lineman Joel Heath. He's done for the year with a torn ACL. Niners running back Jeff Wilson tearing his meniscus. And the Bengals claiming linebacker Joe Bache. Is that how we're pronouncing it?
I think it's Bache.
Bache, B-A-C-H-I-E. Again, Joe, sorry for butchering your name. And they claimed him off waivers from Philadelphia.
So, yeah, I think several teams wanted to get Bache, the linebacker. Several teams put a claim in for him. You know, injuries are going to happen. The good news for Heath and Wilson, it happened at the facility, on team property. So they'll get paid every dime. Wilson might be able to come back this year, but they'll get paid every dime, which is very, very important. What a fun show. I hope you guys enjoyed Kurt Schultz coming on as much as I did. I got to get Kurt to get some of his clients' stories from My Front Page Story for Father's Day, or maybe if they have a business or whatever. Shout outs are in order for Pizza Boy Brewing, Sporticulture, Vision Comics with an X, HumanHeadNYC.com. If you are a Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, or Raiders fan, make sure you listen to today's College Draft podcast because we went over every single draft choice for your team. I think you'll enjoy that. Other than that, I think we're done here. Have a great Memorial Day Monday, everybody. Check my social for food and eats and drinks.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mention DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9. With it. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.